You are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have the music director of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic here, Daniel Nesta Curtis. Hi, Daniel. Welcome back.
Hi, Emily.
All right. So we're here to talk about Saturday, March 16th at 4 p.m. at the Greater Pittsburgh Masonic Center. The Pittsburgh Philharmonic is going to be performing a show called Orchestral Carnival. So what are you performing in this program?
Yes, it's a really fun and varied program. So we're calling it Orchestral Carnival, most directly because we're playing Dvorak's really fun and exciting Carnival Overture. And then the rest of the program is really about variety being the spice of life in concerts. I love that so much when one piece is very different stylistically and in the sound world. And so this program really embraces that. With short pieces from a number of different composers. So we've got the Dvorak Overture, we've got the beautiful Pavane for a Dead Princess by Maurice Ravel. Yeah. We are featuring a talented local cellist, the winner of our Lorraine C. Lippert Young Artist Concerto Competition, and that is Nathan Cho, a local high schooler who's incredibly talented, is currently auditioning for music schools, looking to his next step in his education, and certainly someone who has a bright future. And I think you'll hear that if you come out next Sunday or next Saturday to hear him play the first two movements of Elgar's cello concerto. We're also going to play Emmanuel Chabrier's España. A really fun piece capturing a lot of Spanish rhythms. And then the second half is a Haydn symphony. Oh. Haydn symphony number 102, The Clock.
Ooh, that's a fun one. Yeah.
And it's a really fun symphony, and it makes me realize actually how rare an opportunity it is to play a classical symphony. We think of Mozart and Haydn as kind of the bread and butter of symphonic repertoire, which it is. And yet today, it's actually kind of rare to get to hear, especially a Haydn symphony. And so this is the first classical work that I've had the chance to do with the Pittsburgh Philharmonic in my tenure of the last 4 years. The orchestra is sounding wonderful, and it's a chance to harness a different sound, a lighter style, a smaller orchestra, so not all of the instruments are used in that symphony. But it's been wonderful to have the chance to get into that style of music along with this variety of European composers.
Yeah, very much a variety. You're going all over Europe with this.
All across Europe. And even with Chabrier, you have a French composer sounding Spanish.
Yeah.
Which is a long tradition of French composers doing that. But in a way, you find Haydn, a German-Austrian composer, writing in a way to impress a London audience with this late symphony. And so you have these European composers from different corners of the continent actually influenced by each other and trying to write music for each other's audiences.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that sounds so fun. That sounds like a really great program, too, because you're introducing, as you said, spice of life. You're introducing everything, all of these little things.
Right, and for the orchestra as well as for the audience, I think, it just keeps you on the edge of your seat from one piece to the next. It's a different world of sound and color and emotions. And so, yeah, I love a program where it's not all one thing. I mean, I love a Mahler symphony. I love a single work performance. But it's also really fun to have this variety of smaller pieces that reflect on each other.
Yeah, yeah. And you have a young soloist, as you talked about, Nathan Cho, who, I mean, his CV is incredible. He was with the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony Orchestra as a principal cellist. He's auditioning, as you said, for music schools. He's only 18, and he's already doing the Elgar. I mean, wow. How does that concerto competition work?
So it's a really wonderful thing that we do annually.
Yeah.
And this starts early in the fall season with getting the word out to our young musicians in the area. And we have a big audition date. And on that audition, Nathan Cho really, really blew us away. Those of us who were adjudicating, listening to the auditioners that day. And it was the maturity of his playing. I mean, to be reminded that he's just 18 years old and taking on a work of such emotional depth and technical maturity as the Elgar Concerto. I mean, this is really impressive from any cellist, but especially a young cellist who seems to have a kind of old musical soul in that he totally gets this work and is really a stunning performer.
Mm, wow. Oh, that's going to be so great to hear him perform with the Philharmonic. And for the concerto competition, is it just strings or do you have other instruments that also apply too?
No, the concerto competition is open to any instrument that would solo with the orchestra. We are open to vocalists participating as well. So absolutely, we've had woodwind winners in the recent past. So yes, it's exciting to invite all of our young musicians who might be interested in that.
Yeah, and a great way to introduce them to the Philharmonic as well.
Exactly, and to bring young people into the concert is really important, both on the stage and in the audience. And of course, having a young musician like Nathan amongst the orchestra, I hope some of his friends, colleagues, family members will come. And nothing delights me more than seeing families, seeing young people at our concerts who are really engaging, connecting with the music. And I see this when I turn around after a piece to see young people really enthusiastically responding. Nothing makes me happier.
Yeah. Oh, and he's going to have his own little cheering section. That's always fun, too, for him to, like, feel like he's supported. Yeah.
He will in the audience as well as in the orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a supportive group, and the orchestra is just terribly, tremendously excited to be accompanying such a young soloist.
Oh, that's so great. And as for you as the musical director and conductor, how do you work with a soloist with your orchestra?
Well, that's a good question. Nathan and I are going to meet. We actually haven't gone through the concerto yet.
Oh, yeah.
Together, although we've rehearsed it with the orchestra. But Nathan and the orchestra will work together for the first time this coming Monday at our next rehearsal. So we've worked separately up until now, but that's a really important rehearsal for a concerto because the soloist obviously has a lot of input on the phrasing and the tempo. And so that will be very much about getting on the same page, coordinating our approach to the piece in preparation for our concert the following weekend.
Yeah. Oh, tight timeline.
It is. Yes. And, you know, for Nathan, This I believe may be the first concerto he's playing with orchestra, although with his resume, maybe that's not the case. but in any case, that's always an exciting step for a young musician to take. And so he'll have the chance in our rehearsals to get used to that experience. But there's really nothing quite like that first time you stand in front of the group, in front of an audience. Yeah. To play a concerto.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be so great. And how much are tickets for this performance?
Tickets are, I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe they are $25 for adults and $20, perhaps even less than that, for students and seniors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So pretty reasonable.
Pretty reasonable. Yeah. Yes, we want to make our concerts accessible.
Yeah. And that's a really great way to make them accessible, incentivize people. Yeah.
Yes, we don't want finances to be a barrier for anyone, for families to come and enjoy the concert. And also in terms of accessibility, I find it important to talk about what we're playing.
Mm.
Maybe more so than in a traditional orchestra concert. I like to say why I chose a piece or why I put a group of pieces together. And I find that our audience is especially receptive and seems to appreciate that context just before we present a piece.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like fun. It's almost like a little history lesson or a here's why I chose this before you listen to this amazing piece.
Exactly. It is a little bit of history, a little bit of context, but then it's also here's what I feel when mm-hmm. I hear this section. Here's something you might listen for or here's something we may all collectively experience at this moment. And to just point out a couple of those things that you don't need to be a historian or a music theorist or even a musician to understand the universal appeal of this music. And so drawing people's attention to those universal facets of the music
yeah.
Is a part of it.
Yeah, almost like a little scavenger hunt of like, here's what you're going to hear. Make sure you hear it. Yeah,
exactly. And then it can be a personal journey and experience, right? It's not to say everybody has to have the same journey.
No, but it's
planting
roadmarks.
A couple seeds along the way definitely helps.
Yeah, no, that definitely does help. Oh, great. And after this concert, what's next for the Philharmonic?
Right, so we are quickly getting to the end of the season already.
Yikes. Oh my gosh, already?
After our March program, we have just one more concert, which is our Sounds of Spring program on May 19th. It's also at 4 p.m. We like an afternoon, weekend concert date. And that Sounds of Spring is another really fun, varied program around the theme of freshness and vitality and rebirth. All of these things that we associate with springtime. And so Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring is the kind of landmark piece on that program. But we're also featuring some fresh new voices, including Bradley Fletcher, who is the winner of our Young Composer Competition.
Oh.
So alongside the Lorraine C. Lippert Concerto competition. We have a competition just for young and emerging composers. And this year's winner was actually a CMU grad student in composition named Bradley Fletcher, who wrote a really poignant piece. He wrote it during the pandemic lockdown. And so the piece takes on some of the emotional struggles of loneliness and isolation and reaching for community in this piece of music. So this will actually be the world premiere of that work by Bradley Fletcher. And we're also playing a piece by Lili Boulanger on a spring afternoon. Mm. And this is a really wonderful impressionistic piece, kind of in the realm of the Rite of Spring, but much more impressionistic and colorful in a different way, but that same idea of the kind of potency of springtime ritual.
Mm. Oh, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful concert. Oh my gosh, the Young Composers Competition. I didn't know you guys did that. That's amazing.
Yes, I'm really proud of those two competitions that serve our young musicians in our community. They're really important things for the orchestra, for a community to have, and I think They're designed to make these connections, but also hopefully to jumpstart careers, you know, and add to those already very impressive resumes another really important experience.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Just that I hope if folks are free next Saturday at 4 p.m. that they come out. And if you've never come to a Pittsburgh Philharmonic concert, I encourage you to give it a try, and I think it might be different from what you're used to in the sense that we really try to break down the stuffiness and make it a community event. Mm-hmm. And so the musicians are out in the audience right before and right after the concert, you know, meeting with people, talking. We work very hard on the music, of course, but we also try to create an atmosphere of community. And so I hope if you come out and join us, you'll feel that, you'll experience that and be a part of it.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Well, Danielle Nesta Curtis, thank you so much for coming in and talking about the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. It's been great.
Thank you, Emily.